Once again, it's wonderful to be with you this morning as we hear God's Word. This morning, we're going to be taking a look at Mark chapter 8, 31 to 38. If you've got your own Bible, whether print or digital, I encourage you to open that up so that we can look at these words together. And then let's pray and we'll hear then the Word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be with your people this morning and to hear your Word. We are reminded again that you dwell in the praises of your people. And so we pray that as we hear your glorious good news this morning, that our hearts might be lifted up in praise of your name, that we might know you and your presence more, and we might be affected all the way down to our hearts and our souls by the glory of your amazing name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think it was about for our 10th anniversary, my wife and I's 10th wedding anniversary, that I made this poster of pictures, and you can't really see the whole poster, and the reason there's a glare on it is because I just took a picture of the poster and shared it with you, and it put all these pictures together so that we could remember some of the great events of our marriage. I also wanted to remember some of the important values of our marriage, and I think every marriage, you know, we probably have key values to it. For us, some key values to our marriage were sacrifice, perseverance, and intimacy. That's why I put that little tagline there, celebrating sacrifice, perseverance, and intimacy. That was a key part of our marriage. Now, those are important values in life, wouldn't you say? I think so. I think we would all probably agree. And especially sacrifice is a key value, not only to marriage, but to all of life. Maybe you're familiar with Teddy Roosevelt's famous quote, famous line, "Nothing in the world is worth having or worth doing unless it means effort and pain and difficulty." You know, that's sacrifice, isn't it? Now, I think that maybe Teddy Roosevelt's sentiment has been taken to an extreme these days so that all of life, for some people, means personal sacrifice for personal benefit. Personal sacrifice for personal benefit. Maybe you've gotten a sense of that from people. A prominent example would be a basketball player. This is a little hard to see, but there was a man named James Fredette who in, I think, 2011 or so was drafted to the Sacramento Kings. And at that time, he released this note that he had made about 6 years before that. And in the note, he said, "I agree to do the work and make the necessary sacrifices to be able to reach my ultimate goal." Now, of playing in the NBA. Personal sacrifice he wanted to make for personal benefit. Now, that's a laudable trait. We should sacrifice to reach our goals. But is that really what sacrifice is, or is that all sacrifice is? I think we might have to go back a few generations to see some really great examples of sacrifice, personal sacrifice, for the benefit of others. I think of Tom Brokaw's book on The Greatest Generation. I don't know if you've had a chance to read that, but he describes the generation of individuals who survived the Depression, who won the Second World War, and then who built America into a superpower after that war. That book tells story after story of personal sacrifice for the benefit of others. And so one author summarized his book saying, "Their efforts, the efforts of that great generation, were all about sacrifice so that their children could enjoy a better life. They sacrificed on the front lines of battle and back home in the factories that produced what was needed to wage war." Right? Theirs was a very different kind of sacrifice, personal sacrifice for the benefit of others, and it was pretty impressive. Sacrifice is so important to life that we see it in almost every major storyline that we're familiar with. If you're a Harry Potter fan, you know how important sacrifice is in the Harry Potter books and movies. Dumbledore, the chief character, one of the chief characters in Harry Potter, sacrifices himself to Severus Snape so that Harry can have a chance of winning the fight. Harry Potter, of course, in the end, sacrifices himself to Lord Voldemort. If you're a Lord of the Rings fan, you probably know the story of Frodo Baggins and how he basically sacrifices his own soul to get the ring to the Pit of Doom. And you know how many friends and acquaintances to Frodo sacrificed their own lives so that Frodo could get to that Pit of Doom. Right? If you know those stories, you know what sacrifice is. You know that sacrifice is giving up of yourself, your own life, maybe even your own soul. And it can be done willingly or when other people demand it from you. And that's probably the most profound sacrifice. But you know those stories, then you know what sacrifice is. How much is sacrifice part of your life? I had a conversation with an acquaintance one time, and we were talking about what she described as hashtag millennial probs. Probably have never, maybe never heard that phrase, but she just talked about that as hashtag millennial probs. And she described her life saying that she and her husband were both frustrated and disappointed with their jobs, but that didn't make any sense because supposedly the job market was great. She said that she and her husband felt like they didn't have any family time, that they didn't have any family life. They were frustrated that wages were so stagnant and that they didn't have a chance to get ahead in life. And so they summarized it saying, all we know is we want to make more money than we make now, have more opportunity for advancement. We don't want to feel like we're in a rat race. We want to feel like our kids have some future and that we aren't going to die in our 60s alone and exhausted. So now I would ask you, is sacrifice part of her life? Mind you, she's not, you know, wealthy upper class. It doesn't sound that much like sacrifice to me. It sounds more like depression. Why is it so hard to make sacrifice a central part of our lives? Have you found it hard to make real sacrifice, genuine giving up of yourself for others, the central part of your life? A man named Vanstone wrote a book that I think gives us some insight into it, and he talks about the difference between fake love and real love. And he says that fake love or false love is love for one's own benefit. So there's no vulnerability, there's no self-exposure, it's conditional, and you're always looking to see what you can get out of love. You only love as long as it benefits your own happiness. And the classic example of that fake love is the boyfriend who loves a girl just so that he can get something out of the relationship. And then he talks about real love, and he says, you know, real love is unconditional. Real love is completely vulnerable. Real love always exposes itself. It always gives. It always pours out. It gives away everything it has until it can't give anything else. Real love bears the depths of your soul for the happiness of somebody else. And could you see then what he is saying about why we have such a hard time sacrificing? He's got a great insight. He summarizes it and he says, the real problem is that nobody is actually capable fully of giving true love. We radically want it. We desperately need it. And so we can't fully give it. We can't give it all because we can't live without it. We need real love like we need air and water. Do you see what he's saying, and do you agree with him? Obviously here there are healthy people and there are unhealthy people, aren't there? Right there. I mean, there are people who can give love and sacrifice and they'll still be okay. And some people, they're just so unhealthy, they can't love and sacrifice well. But he says deep down, to some extent, it's true for everybody that we need love. We need love like we need air and water. And so we can't sacrifice ourselves because we would be giving up our whole lives. We would give up exactly what we need to stay alive. And if you've ever struggled to sacrifice, you've probably experienced that. You've felt like you've given up everything that you have, and there's nothing left that you can give up and stay alive. That's the lack of sacrifice. So where are we going to get a love of sacrifice in life? What we need is somebody who can love us unconditionally. Someone who can get this ball rolling to love us, who doesn't need anything in return. We need somebody who can serve us with all that he or she has, can give and give and give until there's nothing left and doesn't need a thing back, who can love us just for our sakes and not for his or her own sake. Where are we going to get that kind of love? The answer is him, isn't it? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all of his love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. The answer is Jesus. Jesus can love us for his own sake and not need anything back. He can pour out all of that love in sacrifice for us. And there's two things in these words from Mark chapter 8 that will let us see the power to know and to feel and to sense his affection and his profound sacrifice for us. And let's take a look at those. There are two things. First, that the sacrifice demanded everything from him. And second, that it did something. It demanded everything and it did something. To see that it demanded everything, first, you need to know that his sacrifice demanded everything from him. Other people took it all away. The verse 31 says it. It says that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. Now, that little word must is a key word there, isn't it? For those of you who have sacrificed before in life, or you have felt like you have sacrificed, was your sacrifice your own choice, or did somebody demand it from you? Did you sacrifice willingly, or did somebody demand that you sacrifice? Right, the difference is as stark as the difference between Fredette's note and Jesus' quote. Fredette says, "I agree on this day to do the work and to make the necessary sacrifices." So who was sacrificing there? Fredette was, right? He demanded it of himself. And Jesus says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. Who demanded the sacrifice from Jesus? The chief priests and the elders and the scribes, right? They demanded it from him. Now, what's the difference? You know that Jesus sacrificed everything because people took it from him. He wasn't just willing to sacrifice it, which is profound enough all by itself, but people took everything he had, everything that was in his soul and his life. They took it all away. They demanded everything that he had. Have you ever gotten that far in sacrifice where people didn't just, where you weren't just the one sacrificing, but people demanded it from you? If you want to know the power of Christ's sacrifice, if you want to know the amazing strength that it has, then you have to know this thing first, that he could have changed the course of affairs. He could have done something different. But not only was it necessary that he sacrifice, but it was demanded from him. They took everything he had. Now, when you've sacrificed in life, and people have demanded sacrifice from you. What did that do to you? What did that do to your heart? I've had sacrifice demanded from me in life, and I have to say that it didn't do great things for my heart. When people demanded that I sacrifice, I got angry and bitter and resentful. What about you? If people have demanded sacrifice from you, how did you react? Now, why did I get angry and bitter and resentful? Perhaps it's just the nature of sacrifice. That's what happens. But I think there's so much more to it. I was angry because I didn't think that my sacrifice would do anything. I thought they wanted me to sacrifice for their own benefit. I didn't see how it would do anything for me and for the people I loved. I just thought that I was losing and that they were gaining at my expense. If you want to know the power of Jesus' sacrifice, then you need to see verse 33, where Jesus tells us what his sacrifice was doing. In verse 33, he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." See, Peter couldn't see what Jesus' sacrifice could do, could he? But Jesus knew what his sacrifice could do. It would bring about incredible results, godly concerns. See, do you see what happens when you have to sacrifice? You pay so somebody else can gain. You lose so somebody else can win. You fail or give up so somebody else can have. And that, if that happens all the time, it will crush and destroy your soul. You need somebody else to pay for you. And Jesus says, "I must suffer. I must sacrifice. Either you have to pay for sin, or I'm going to pay for it for you. Either you have to be inflicted, or I will be inflicted for you. Either you are going to have to be judged, or I can get judged for you. It has to happen one way or another." That was how he knew his sacrifice would do something. Do you see how much Jesus was willing to sacrifice for you? He was certainly willing to sacrifice his own life. That much is definitely true. But he was willing to go even so far beyond that. He was willing to sacrifice his own soul, his own identity, his own very self. Psalm 22 says it very beautifully. Psalm 22 says, "I am a worm and not a man." When Jesus died on the cross, he ceased to be considered a human being to his Father. He gave up everything that made him who he was, his own very self and his sense of identity. He gave up everything that he was so you could become what he is. And if you want to know the power of sacrifice, the immense strength of his sacrifice, you have to see that his sacrifice did not just do something for him, but it did something for you. Now, I realize in all of this that I'm asking you to do something pretty crazy, right? I'm asking you to do exactly what verse 34 says. In verse 34, Jesus says, "Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me." And I'm asking you to do that, to deny yourself, to take up your cross and follow him. If you want to save your life, then you must lose it. But if you lose your life for Christ's sake and for the gospel, then you will save it. And I realize that that's a hard thing. So many of us, we feel like we have sacrificed so much. How could we sacrifice any more and still be who we are? But that's what you need to do. That's what you should do. Because if you lose yourself, you will discover Christ and you will see who you really are. And that is something you can only do here at church. It can only happen here. The world is not going to help you sacrifice that much. The world is not going to hold you accountable and keep you safe so you can sacrifice all of that and then catch you when you fall. And that's why we love our Christian church. Only the Christian church is going to lead you through all of these steps to deny yourself. C.S. Lewis really nicely summarized it for us, and we'll leave him with that. He said, until you have given up yourself to him, you will not have a real self. The very first step is to try to forget about yourself altogether. Your real, your new self will not come as long as you are looking for it. It will come when you are looking for him. Give up yourself, and you will find your real self. Lose your life, and you will save it. Submit to death, death of your ambitions and your favorite wishes every day, and death of your body in the end. Submit with every fiber of your being, and you will find eternal life. Keep nothing back. Nothing that you have not given away will ever really be yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred and loneliness and anger and rage and despair. But look for Christ, and you will find him, and with him, everything else thrown in. Won't you do that with me? Let's pray for it. Lord God, you have revealed to us a profound truth this morning, that as long as we try to hold on to ourselves, who we think we are and what we want to do, we will never find our real self. Lead us to sacrifice. Sacrifice of our whole identity, our person, all of our being, that we might find ourselves once again in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.